This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
It's time for our Monday serial, a respectable veneer written by Rachel Doré, published by Upstart Press and narrated by Romy Hooper. This serial has been made possible by funding from the Earl Creativity and Development Trust with collaboration from Manawatu People's Radio. A Respectable Veneer is a story about love and courage, but we remind you of our regular content warning. There are elements of violence and references to child abuse. Last week, Frank began to recover. Ruby has spent the duration of Edie's illness sewing a new coat for her daughter's return to school, and Ruby's employer, Madame Hosier, arrived bearing gifts for Edie, who is still sick.
Ruby watched Edie skip through the school gate. Douglas turned to her.
You haven't told Edie yet, have you?
It's all been a bit of a spin lately.
Of course, you couldn't be blamed for forgetting.
He turned into the thin stream of traffic. She hadn't forgotten. Finding words to explain what amounted to a sham marriage had been on her mind.
I think it'd be best to set a date, sooner rather than later, he said.
Yes. Still, the thought of organising it makes me tired, that's all.
You're being a bit contrary, aren't you? Unless my memory fails me, you had a list of reasons as to why we should do it.
His words mirrored her thoughts.
There were benefits for you, as much as for Frank and me.
It sounded like a rebuke, and it disappointed her. She recalled his panic when Madam saw him in the kitchen with Frank. The engine tick-tickered as they waited for a mob of workers on bikes to cycle through an intersection. She shrugged. All right, I'll talk to Edie tonight, or in the next day or two.
About Vi.
He took advantage of a gap in the traffic.
Were you serious about asking her to be a witness?
Yes. We want her to spread it around the neighbourhood, don't we? And it might also smooth any ill feeling I'd caused.
I'll feel better once it's done.
Douglas turned into the little service lane behind the shops.
Those few days I had. I have to get out of that place.
I know.
I'm glad your boss saw sense about your hours.
He left the engine idling as he got out to open her door.
And you really do look marvellous.
When we're married, I should kiss you on the cheek each morning. She wanted to tease him.
No, you wouldn't. That's only in films. Real married couples are abominable to each other. To keep up appearances, you'd have to treat me with contempt and ignore me.
Cynic? That's the sort of thing I'd expect from Frank, not you. Cheer up. See you at 5. Madam gave Douglas a wave as he drove off, a slight frown on her face. She nodded approvingly at Ruby's new coat. Good morning, Madam Hodger. Ruby had been practicing to get the soft sound of the name as she remembered hearing it. Madam stopped frowning at the mohair cap slanted jauntily on Ruby's head and patted her shoulder as she entered.
It is good to have you back, Ruby.
Janice was waiting for her at the bottom of the stairs.
Darling!
She had Ruby in her arms before she could put her bag down.
Is that the coat you were working on? Turn around. Oh, what a gorgeous line! What sort of pattern did you use?
I didn't have one.
You're terribly clever, Janice babbled. And I like your cap. It's half Tam O'Shanter and...
It's itchy, confided Ruby in a whisper.
Enough. There is work to be done.
Madam clapped her hands.
By the way, this is for you, whispered Ruby when Madam had gone.
Janice excitedly unwrapped the package, then held the blouse against herself.
Oh, Ruby, it's gorgeous. I love the pattern. How did you know I love lilacs?
Ruby laughed. You might have mentioned it.
How'd you guess my size?
Janice, I've given you a hug or two. That was enough.
Never, laughed Janice. I want more hugs than that.
They smothered their short burst of laughter behind their palms like schoolgirls.
Janice, you don't happen to know of a good shoe shop, do you? Asked Ruby.
On Friday, I want to buy Edie some proper fitted shoes. Would you like to come?
Any of the department stores do proper fittings. But there's a lovely old shoe shop up around the corner, and I'd love to come. I'll give you a lift and drop you home.
You could stay for tea. I'll rustle something up, unless we all have fish and chips again.
Oh, by the way, I've brought some peanut brownies.
You've become dreadfully domesticated, Janice said.
I have, haven't I? Enough! Enough!
Madam called from the bottom of the stairs.
Over lunch, listening to Janice giving an account of the previous week of her life and gossiping about her friends, Ruby made a decision. Before the week was out, she'd tell Janice about the registry office.
Just as well the date was close. There'd be no time for Janice to make a palaver out of it. Telling Madam came first. That meant taking Madam Hoja into her confidence. She'd spot any falsehood at once.
Janice chatted on as always. Yes, between Vi and Janice, news of the gentlemanly Bon Brush bachelor safely married would soon be spread around. Douglas and she would become the respectable Mr. and Mrs. Woods, living a companionable family existence with young Edie, as Frank Pierce's helpful boarders.
Companionable. That was the word. It had become a routine. Ruby bathed Edie, left Frank reading the paper and doing the crossword after their evening meal while they bathed and talked before bed. Edie's hair seemed to be getting longer. Ruby lifted each hank and brushed it over her hand. The sheen of it.
On Friday night, Janice and I are taking you shopping, Ruby announced.
Shopping?
Edie emitted a squeak.
Shush, don't squeal.
It's time you had new shoes. Ruby glanced at the small shoes on the floor. They'd been second hand when she got them. The worn leather showed where Edie's toes had been pushing against the end, and on one, the welt had begun to split from the sole.
Edie swung around.
Can I have black patent leather?
No.
A girl at school's got patent leather shoes.
That's plain silly. Patent leather's only for best. They'll be ruined in no time.
As it is, it'll be a long while before I can afford best shoes.
Can I have...
Ruby put a finger to her lips.
Stop.
Red ones. I'd like red shoes, said Edie. Or blue. Do they have blue ones in my size?
Let me finish brushing your hair or I won't tell you something else.
Will I like it?
I hope so.
Ruby put the brush down and turned Edie to face her.
You know I like Douglas.
Yes, I like him too.
Good. How would you like it if he came here and lived with us?
That'd be swell!
Another American word, Ruby said. Is that what they're saying at school these days?
Uncle Douglas should live here, Edie shrilled. Frank would like that too, wouldn't he? Wouldn't you?
Shush, not so loud. Yes, I would.
You should marry him.
Ruby hedged. Do you think so, do you? I'd have to see. Edie tilted her head. It's grown-up business, said Ruby. Remember our rule about minding your own business and never?
You don't have to say it. But I did tell people at school you made my new coat. But that's all right, isn't it?
Yes, I'm talking about things that concern grown-ups. I'm the only person you talk to about grown-up matters.
I know. I don't. I won't. Can I talk to you if grown-ups do something peculiar?
Has anything peculiar happened? Ruby gripped Edie's shoulder. Edie shrugged Ruby's hand off.
No, but I will tell you if it does.
Good.
If you do get married,
Edie's face was earnest,
we'll be like a family. Shall I talk to him if I'm wondering about peculiar grown-up matters?
Only if you talk to me first. I'll decide, said Ruby. Don't forget, this is Frank's house. We're his boarders, and we mustn't interfere in matters that don't concern us.
Where would Uncle Douglas sleep?
Well, that'd be up to him and Frank. Douglas will want to be where he can look after Frank when he gets unwell. That's not our business either.
There's another bedroom, and there's the locked room.
It is not our business, Ruby said. Edie's tone dropped to a conspiratorial whisper.
One uncle is lovely all the time, and the other one gets tired and grumpy. But it's going to be neat.
Yes, neat. Just remember, nothing and nobody is ever good all of the time. Lou Watkins whispered inside her ear, his voice a rusted hinge, his breath mustard.
I know where you are, Miss La-di-da. I seen ya. You've got my art union ticket, and I'm coming to get her.
Ruby fought her way out of sleep, struggling with the bedclothes. His art union ticket? Edie! The clock struck 11. The house was quiet. Edie's eiderdown rustled as she stirred in her sleep, and Ruby held her breath, listening. All was still. In the dark, she drew on the old jumper over her nightgown and tiptoed to the kitchen. A new tin of Ovaltine should be amongst the groceries the boy had delivered that morning. And if Frank's cigarettes were still on the table, he might not mind. It had been foolish to put that old coat out with the rubbish. It had been warm. But it belonged to a life that disgusted her, and she wanted no reminders. Mrs. Pierce's hoard of material must have a suitable piece to make herself a decent dressing gown. It'd need 4.5 yards at least. Hadn't she seen a bolt of something? Pale green? She'd ask Frank. There were no cigarettes. While a saucepan of milk heated, Ruby gazed out at the night from the window above the sink. A figure standing out there in the yard wouldn't be seen. It gave her a chill. What would she do if Breaker turned up? She pulled the curtain across. Killing anyone had never occurred to her before. She went to the kitchen drawer and found the largest knife, feeling the blade with her thumb, where the metal was thinnest, testing for sharpness. She balanced it in her hand. Would a downward thrust work? In a film she'd seen, the murderer had the handle gripped in his fist, blade down. That didn't feel right. It'd mean having her arm up too high, exposing her torso. An upward thrust? She turned the knife, pointing up, and jabbed at the air. Up toward the lower belly? Sideways, into the liver? It was worth more consideration. Ruby smiled at herself. Ridiculous. It'd never work. She hoped never to have him standing in front of her at all, so it was all out of the question. She spooned Ovaltine into the cup and put her fingers on the side of the slowly warming saucepan. Mrs. Pierce, I must say, she said to the empty kitchen, I'm so glad you've provided a decent washing machine and a fridge. But why did you keep this horrid electric stove? Other people must have gas. I saw the big gasometer from the train. And I'm surprised you haven't at least got an electric kettle. Boiling water could hurry things along when a girl wants a hot drink in the middle of the night. Even the kitchen at Rat's Nest had an electric kettle, although there'd been rumours that someone had electrocuted themselves with it, and some of the girls refused to use it. She might ask Douglas about spending money on one as a wedding present. Modern conveniences might not matter to Frank. Was anybody keeping household accounts for him? Who was keeping track? She suspected he drifted from one week to the next. Now that she bought the household food as board payment, as well as doing the housework she did, it must help. Like a locomotive hauling carriage loads of worries and ideas, shunting from one station to another along a track, her mind went from the need for an electric kettle and Frank's financial affairs to her own needs and Edie's. The wedding. Composing what portion of truth to tell Madame Hoja and Janice. She had shopping for Edie's new shoes to look forward to. At that point, the engine of her thoughts screeched to a halt as she recollected Lou, standing in the street watching passers-by. He'd been like a terrier spotting a rat when he saw Edie, and Edie had been terrified. And he had seen them get into Douglas's car. Still, they couldn't hide forever. Edie and Janice were looking forward to going to the shoe shop on Friday. She'd just have to watch out for him. If his art union ticket referred to the price on Edie, it meant two things. They hadn't run far enough, and while Lou Breaker Watkins lived, they might never be safe. She just hoped he hadn't telegrammed North. Though that was unlikely. Lou would want the entire bounty for himself, or he had another buyer. If only she had someone to confide in, someone who'd protect Edie. Frank wasn't up to it, and disclosing anything to Douglas meant a confession and possibly being thrown out. With a splattering hiss, the milk boiled over. Before Ruby went downstairs to face Madam, she used the clothes brush on her cardigan and skirt. She knocked delicately on the doorpost of the curtained studio. Madam Hoja, may I have a word? Sit. Madam smiled and wafted her hand toward a bent wood chair. You are troubled. Ruby looked at the tiled floor. It's awkward. As you say in this country, spit it out. The thing is, madam, I'm getting married. Madam Hoja stopped smiling. Oh, I'm not handing in my notice or anything, Ruby quickly added. I'd like to stay on. Not long ago, this wasn't true. She'd never imagined herself working for a milliner. Now she knew she didn't want to leave. Go on, said Madam. I wanted to tell you before I mention it to Janice. I'm marrying Douglas. We'll go to the registry office. It will be a simple arrangement.
A formality.
Madam finished the sentence, her face expressionless.
And Edith?
Edie is pleased about it, said Ruby. I'm hoping, if it's all right, I mean, I know I've taken a lot of time off. Madam folded her arms. May I? Ruby gulped. Please have next Wednesday afternoon off?
Janice too?
I don't know. I haven't told her yet. We didn't intend to have anyone there except witnesses. I don't suppose you'd...
Madam Hodger pursed her lips. And your position with Frank?
Well, that won't change, said Ruby. When Douglas moves in...
How well do you know these men?
I haven't known Douglas very long, but he's probably the only trustworthy man I've ever met. Madam, he's been more a friend to me than any other man I've known. A piece of truth tumbled out. The only thing he asks is that I help him look after Frank, and...
Bibi.
Madam held up her hand.
Let me speak. When I was young, I trained in Vienna to be a dancer. I was young and very strong-minded in a foolish way. I wanted the life of an artist. Of course, I was in love with an artist. We were very free. We travelled to Berlin. It was a wonderful place. Before. Full of culture and color and expression. Such wonderful times.
Madame's voice faltered.
The love affair did not last. I had to work. As a dancer, I was very good. I got work. It was not to my training, but it was work. There, in Berlin, I met men.
She paused and reached for Ruby's hand.
Many beautiful friends, like Frank, like Douglas. All gone.
The distance between them narrowed as Ruby met her gaze.
How can I say this?
Madam patted her hand.
Douglas and you?
Madam, I know. Believe me, I understand perfectly how it is. Is it too awful to want to feel safe? That's what the three of us have in common. We want to be safe.
That is not a small thing. Even in this country. At least they won't be shot, or...
No, not shot.
And you?
Ruby's eyes stung. What answer could she give? She had resigned herself to never being loved. Perhaps she didn't deserve to be. Even her platonic affection for Douglas was unrequited. The only prospect that might resemble the idea of family was a slim slice of an awkward companionship, with her at the sidelines, bystander to the little exchanges and interplay of love between the two men.
More than anything, I want Edie to be safe, said Ruby.
Is that wrong? And she's looking forward to the idea of a family life, however unconventional it may be.
So, Wednesday. That is very soon. Never mind.
Madam kissed her on both cheeks.
I shall close up for the afternoon. Janice will be there, of course. It will make her happy.
You've been listening to A Respectable Veneer, a serialized novel by Rachel Doré, read by Romy Hooper. Listen to the next episode at 8 p.m. next Monday, or for the rest of the series, go to npr.nz/show/respectableveneer or search for A Respectable Veneer wherever you find your podcasts.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.